Anybody got a question? A problem? All right, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I would suggest that we might call this What to Teach. What must we teach in this dispensation? Well, I believe that we should teach the whole counsel of God. And I believe, according to what the Bible says, I believe that the whole counsel of God would start in Genesis and wouldn't end till you got to Revelation. You understand? I believe in Genesis through Malachi. I believe teaching it. But who is it for? It's written for Israel. There are people that are involved in this time frame back here that could be involved with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, according to Genesis chapter 12, if they would bless the seed of Abraham. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to teach it doctrinally, when I'm speaking teaching, I'm talking about teaching Genesis to Malachi doctrinally, historically. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I know that Jesus Christ was sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know there were some Gentiles that tried to get to Jesus Christ here, and they were refused until they recognized their position in Christ. In other words, that Jesus Christ was the Lord. They recognized that. Then they had favor with the Lord. The book of Acts in teaching doctrinally is a Acts of the Apostles, is what it's about. It's about the diminishing and the fall and the finally casting away of Israel as a nation. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that Israel has been set aside, and God is dealing in this time frame here with the 12 apostles, and he's dealing with a new nation. He is not dealing with the body of Christ. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doctrinally has nothing to do with Romans to Philemon as far as doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Paul is saved in the book of Acts, and he's going to Jew first all the way through the book of Acts. You'll find that even in Acts 28:28. He went to the Jew as a prisoner. He's still going to the Jew first. When Paul wrote Romans to Philemon, he said, "Rightly divide the word of truth." So I know that the word of truth is the gospel of our salvation, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The gospel of our salvation is that when Christ died at Calvary, he not only died for those that were in the covenants of promise, he died for these over here that were not in the covenants of promise. And when Paul told the world that he was going to go to people such as us, he became a prisoner for us Gentiles from then to the end of his life. The Lord appeared unto him in Acts chapter 9. The Lord appeared unto him in the temple in Acts 18. When the Lord appears for the church, the body of Christ, the rapture, only those that are in the church, the body of Christ, are going out in the rapture. You may have joined a religious church by water baptism, signing the papers, whatever they want you to do, but that won't put you in the body of Christ. And that church ain't going out at the rapture unless they have trusted that Jesus Christ died for their sins and the Holy Spirit baptized them into the body of Christ. The rapture of the church takes place. I know the man of sin can be revealed. Now we're talking doctrinal. According to a 1611 King James Bible, you can't trace all this out in these new books. They omit scriptures, they change it, they drop phrases, leave out whole scriptures, and put doubt on the rest of them.
Amen.
Now, when the Antichrist is revealed, and beloved, he cannot be revealed while we're here. Why I say we, I'm talking about we that are members of his body, not the Antichrist body now, but the body of Christ. Don't get me wrong here. Listen, before you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you were a member of this old Antichrist over here, just like me. But you know what my favorite verse is on that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. You all ought to be able to quote it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. In other words, when Jesus Christ was quickened in AD 33, based on God's foreknowledge, knowing whether you would trust Christ as your personal Savior or not, he ain't talking about whether he knew whether you joined the Baptist or the Methodist or the Catholic or the Jehovah's Witness Church. He's talking about that whether he knew that you would trust Christ as your personal Savior. The Holy Spirit resurrected you in the mind of God in AD 33 before you was ever born. Now you can't beat that.
You think people that's up in the church, they ain't never heard nothing like this.
No.
Well, is any of them up in there saved?
Well, let me ask you.
I mean, you know, I just...
You asked me a question, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Y'all hold 2 Timothy chapter 4 in terms of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, well, the ministry we have is ministering the Spirit. It has nothing to do with ministering the law. It has to do with ministering of the Spirit. Verse 3 of chapter 3, verse 6 will tell you. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Well, have we already received mercy? Well, we sure have. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, here's my question. But if our gospel be hid, yeah, it's hid to them that are what?
Lost.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom? The lost. In whom? The God of this world, the Antichrist, Satan, the deceiver, the liar from the beginning of the Garden of Eden back here, and before, if you've studied what happened to the world when God created the world in Genesis 1:1 and in Genesis 1:2, something happened. The world became void. God didn't create it void. It became void. Satan went and gossiped and said to the angels, Satan was the cherub that covered the word of God. He was the high cherubim. And he went up there and gossiped among the angels, and he said, I'm going to put my throne above God. I'm going to put my seat above God, and I'm going to be God. The world was destroyed. God recreated it in 6 days. Genesis 1, 3 through. 6 days. You know what he told man? When he recreated it,
replenish.
He said, replenish.
Okay.
Now listen, anybody got a mind to think knows what replenish is, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
I got a cup of coffee right here. If I drink it, I can replenish it. You understand?
Sure.
But when I go get a fresh cup down there that ain't got nothing in it, I'm not replenishing that. I'm filling that up. And do you know that's what Satan does in his new books? He takes the word replenish and says to Adam and Eve, fill up the world. No, replenish it. In other words, before Adam and Eve was born, sometime in time past, there were people on the face of this earth. You hear? Do you know what he told Noah? When Noah went through the floods, there were 8 people. Noah and his family, 8 people. Of all the millions of people that was on the face of this earth, after the flood, there were 8 people saved by water. The water lifted the ark up above the raft of Almighty God. The raft could not touch Noah and his family. They were inside the ark. God set them in there, shut the door, and sealed them. Beloved, when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into His body, and He seals you to the day of redemption. Day of redemption. And you can't break that seal, and can't nobody else break it. God Himself cannot break that seal. The very foundation of this world stands on a promise. Y'all know where that foundation stands? 2 Timothy 2:19. The foundation of God standing sure on this seal having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Well, the Lord can never say to me, I never knew you. He knows me. He knows His Son, and I'm a member of His Son's body, of His flesh, and of His bone, Ephesians chapter 5 says. So, when the body's full, we can go out. But your new Bible says to Noah, fill up. Huh? Y'all know what God told Noah and his family to do? Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish. Do you know the fish got dominion over us now? If you don't think they got no dominion over you, I tell you what you do. You go out there and go red snapper fishing and bring in more than 2 red snapper and see what the authorities, if they check you, will do to you. You ain't got dominion over nothing. You ain't even got dominion over ourselves no more. Don't pay your taxes, they'll come kick you out of your house. I mean, we ain't got dominion over nothing. But anyway, I know the Word of God has to be rightly divided in Paul's epistles. Now, when the rapture of the church takes place, then the Antichrist can be revealed, and he can't be revealed while we're here. We're withholding him from being revealed. So don't worry about these earthquakes and tornadoes and floods. And boy, I'm telling you what, these people that prophesy, believe in prophecy, they are jumping on the bandwagon now. Telling everybody, well, the end of the world is right around the corner. All these signs and wonders are going on. And you know where you find them signs and wonders about all of that? You can find it in Matthew and Mark, Luke and 21 and Matthew 24. You know what Matthew 24 is about? It's about the tribulation. Well, the tribulation can't come while we're here. And don't let somebody tell you that we're going in to the first 3 or 4 chapters of Revelations. I've heard Van Ambe say that we're already in the book of Revelation. Well, that's a bunch of junk. We're not in the book of Revelation. Listen, you don't need but one verse to prove out of Revelation that you ain't over there in the book of Revelation. Y'all know how to do it? Okay, listen, hold 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to go back there in just a minute. But take Revelation chapter 1. You see, I know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. There's a word in yonder that ought to tell you something. Angel. You know what the word is?
Yeah.
Angel.
Angel.
Why? Angel. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 8. Now we're talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel and be saved. Satan don't want you to see the gospel of Christ. He'll do anything in his power to keep people from seeing that when Christ died at Calvary, jolly well know all of your sins are paid for. I have to slow myself down every now and then. I get so tired of hearing these Joel Osteens and all these knuckleheads, if you'll confess your sins, God will forgive you. No, he has already forgiven you.
Amen.
Sins ain't your problem. You know, my mom was a good Christian lady, but she didn't know quite a lot. She was in a grace church that didn't rightly divide Paul's epistles. Therefore, there's a lot of things she didn't understand. And I was reading in my Bible that she gave me when I joined the Marines in 1953. She said, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. No, that book will show me where I must blow down sore, stinking sinner, and I needed a Savior. And you, every one of you, are just as sore as I am.
Amen.
And you need a Savior.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, those out yonder that say they're good, they go to confession every Sunday or whenever. They get in line and take that wafer, they drink that hooch, and they say, well, boy, I'm good till next week. No, you ain't. If you died when you got through drinking that hooch and taking that wafer, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you'll bust hell wide open. And the priest or the pope or whoever, or the parson, can't pray you out of heaven. Once you're in hell, you're there. Once you're in the church of body of Christ, beloved, you're there.
Amen.
You're sealed. You can't lose it. Now, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. Go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. God sent something, a message. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his servant. Excuse me, he went and signified it by his angel unto their servant John. Did the angel take the words of the Lord to John?
Mm-hmm.
Who did John write it to? Go to chapter 7. Go to chapter 7. Verse 1, after these things I saw four angels. Well, the book of Revelation is filled with angels. We don't have any angels today. And I know that just throws denominational systems a curve. Everybody believes they got a guardian angel. Well, that's my guardian angel been asleep for 70 something years. He ought to wake up and help me every now and then. Now, verse 1, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on any sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Hold the fort. Are you already sealed?
Yeah.
How do you know you are?
Verse 3.
Hold the book of Revelations and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm not waiting on no angel to seal me. The Holy Spirit sealed me the day I trusted Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
And if you ain't trusted Christ, you ain't sealed. You ain't even anybody. You may be in a church, but not in the body. So everybody in the church, not necessarily in the body.
Amen.
Now, go back to 2 Corinthians, whole Revelations. I want to show you what they were preaching back there. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, well, they don't need to read verse 1. Let's start in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And beloved, Paul's gospel is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul is a blasphemer. He's persecuting those people that believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Israel. Paul didn't get saved till Acts chapter 9, so Paul's gospel from Acts 9 to the rapture is the gospel of Christ. You understand? And from Acts 22 on, it has to do with the mystery of the gospel. Not the mystery which is, but the mystery of. Now, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom, these lost people, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Go back to Revelations and take Revelations chapter 12. Now, let me show you what this angel was preaching to John. You might as well just go ahead while you're at it and take Ephesians chapter 2. Let's do it there. Revelation 12 and Ephesians 2. You say, well, they don't fit. Well, I believe they will. I believe I can get an understanding out of it. All scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All right, now, Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 17. I'm not going to read all the chapter. You go home and study it. In Revelation 12, 17, the dragon, that's the old serpent, the devil, you'll find him in verse 9, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that be Israel, which keep the commandments of God. Do you see that? Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Go to chapter 14, verse, well, let's see here. Go to verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Go to chapter 22. Revelation 22. Now this is what the angel would be preaching to John, and John would have written it to the seven churches which are in Asia, and he names the places where they're at. He names the seven churches, and every one of those churches has an angel. Now, in Revelation 22, verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, then may enter in through the gates to the city. Why would they need the tree of life? Go to chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 7. Now this is the angel writing to the first church. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Well, I don't need the tree of life. My life is in Christ. Now, what all of that, go to Ephesians chapter 2 now. What would Paul be preaching? Let's see what Paul preached to us. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Did these Ephesians, did these Colossians, did they have to be circumcised? No, they did not. Don't let somebody tell you that they ain't in the body because they were not circumcised. That circumcision profited them nothing, according to the book of Galatians. Beloved, the law's done away with in this dispensation. The law's not done away with in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The law's not done away with until you get to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Nobody knew about the law being done away with until Paul was told them people in Romans, but now the righteousness of God without the law. These people in Hebrews through Revelations are still under the old law. There ain't no new covenant nowhere. You see, you got these people that say we're a new covenant church. Ain't no such thing. God has not made a new covenant until the second coming. Now, what is Satan doing to people today? He's blinding their eyes. Well, let me ask you, where are the lost at? Where do the lost go? Go to Luke chapter 16. You see, you got this terminology in the world that people put faith in, and you can't find it in the King James Bible. Purgatory. Did you know what the 1928 Noah Webster English Dictionary says about purgatory? It says a supposed place by the Catholic religion.
Supposed.
In other words, when a man dies, he can't go to heaven. He goes down into purgatory. And if them, his will have got enough money, you give me your money and we'll pray him out of purgatory here where he can go to heaven. No, when you die, listen to me. Don't ever get this mixed up. When you die without Christ, you bust hell wide open right then immediately. Luke 16 is a good example. Look at it. Verse 19. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Where did the angels carry this beggar here? Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, where's the rich man? Is he in purgatory? No, he's in hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, this rich man's a Jew, but he's a non-believing Jew. He dies. He's in hell. He's being tormented in the flames down there. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to what he's saying here. So that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now, did you hear anywhere in there, well, Lazarus opened his mouth? You know who's doing the talking? Father Abraham. He's in Abraham's bosom. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. There are compartments in hell down there. Deuteronomy says there is a lowest hell. A lowest hell. Let's do it like this here. We'll say here's the flames of hell over here. And here's a gulf. Do y'all know what a gulf is? It's water. Here's Abraham over here. All those that die in faith, the seed of Abraham, go down into Abraham's bosom. They are comforted. Here's the rich man over here. He's in this flame over here, and he's just being tormented like the dickens. He can see that water out yonder, but he can't get to it. He said, send Lazarus over here. Let him dip his finger in that gulf when he's coming by and cool my tongue. He said, he can't come from here to there, and you can't go from where you at to here. In other words, you are in hell. That's it. Eternally.
They ain't going to burn up.
Never will burn up. They'll never be destroyed. They will have bodies that will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and never see the light of day. Go back to Revelation. Let me show you something. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Let me show you something. Verse 11. Now, listen, this is another key passage here for you to let you know that the church, the body of Christ, is not in the book of Revelation. What we fixing to read right here. And I hope you get why you can't be in this passage. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. And we don't go to the white throne. The members of the church, the body of Christ, where do we go?
To
the judgment seat of Christ. We don't go to the white throne over here. Now, verse 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. What is the next verse? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where? Into the lake of fire, and it burns forever and ever. And I believe it's Mark. Give me just a minute. I may not be able to find this, but I believe it's Mark that makes a mention of something here. Give me just a minute. I want to think. Yeah, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all want to let's do it. Abide by the doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, I mean, you got whole denominational systems that build their whole platform around Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I know there's some of them in there that have stole. I've stole. I cut one of my fingers off. I wouldn't cut the whole hand off. I didn't want it gone, but it's gone. It wasn't because I stole something. If I'd have had to cut them off because I stole, I wouldn't have no hands at all. And I know I'm not, y'all not as bad as I am. I ain't saying y'all bad, that y'all are thieves.
Wow.
Do y'all know any churches that teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in their church?
Every one of them.
And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Y'all know any of these churches that cut them folks' hands off?
Not even one.
You know, I'm told that some of those Islamic countries over there still do this. And it would deter fever if we did it around here. Verse 43, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Never?
No.
Do y'all know how long never is? I ain't got no idea. I can't even think that far. My mind's too shallow. I can't think like God does. He's told me my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. He's from eternity to eternity, whatever that is. I mean, it's like a circle. There ain't no end to it. There's no end to it. It just keeps on going. Verse 44, where the worm dies not. Y'all know what a worm does in a fire? He just squirming in it. Yeah, I learned how years ago how to dig worms the easy way. Every Monday morning was wash day at my mama's house. And we had an old pitcher pump. We didn't have no electric pump. We had an old pitcher pump. Mama had two or three wash tubs. Well, she had bluing. She had to dye everything or whatever that bluing's supposed to do, bleach it or something. Little ball of blue-looking stuff looked like ink to me. Well, she had to wash it over here, rinse it here, blue it over here, re-rinse it over here, and I'm the one who had to take care of filling them buckets. Well, that soapy water gets so soapy after a while. Mama, she said, dump it out and get me some fresh water. I dumped that water out there and just a little bit, them worms would be a wiggling. That soap was eating on them. They just a squirming in it. And I think about that every time I read this right here. Verse 44, where the worm died not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter a hawk into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And do you know most of that verse there and most of verse 44 is left out of your new Bibles? I wonder why they won't leave it out.
Leave 44 out.
Then they leave most of 44, the whole verse is out. And most of 46, the whole verse is out. In most all your new translations. Now you talk about a crook, that's a crook. Verse 47. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. How's your eye going to offend you? Oh my, I wish you hadn't said that.
That's a nail on the head.
I have a hard time. Go to whole Mark chapter 9, go to Matthew chapter 5. Now listen, we're talking about doctrinal teaching. All scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. But wait a minute. I can't take doctrinally Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and apply it doctrinally today.
Amen.
You understand? I can't handle it. So I don't do like when my mom used to tell me to help sweep the floor. I'd pick the rug up and I'd sweep the dirt under the rug. And mom, she knew all, she found out about all them tricks. Come here, boy. Got to get it out of the house, not under the rug, not under the bed. Of course, some of our floors had cracks enough we could sweep some of it out the cracks, the little stuff. Yeah, that's why I'm because of the way I was brought up. We didn't have no running water in my house. We didn't have no indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse. That's why I'm so bad, because I was brought up in a bad environment. Ain't that what they say? I had a bad childhood, because I'm going to be bad because I had a bad childhood. No, I'm bad because I was born bad. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Matthew 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You got two eyes, Allie?
Yeah, I got two. I've been looking.
Jim, you ought to be one-eyed.
I'll be in plucked out, brother.
Where's that first person?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28.
Thank you.
Matthew 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart already. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now you know that you can't do that. Can you imagine what they would do with a preacher? Let's say our Cottage Hill Baptist Church over yonder, their preacher gets up and says, how many of you men in here last weekend went on to the beach? Hand goes up. He said, any of y'all see any good looking women in bikinis over yonder? Oh yeah. And he said, well, I want y'all to come up here and we're going to pluck your eye. You reckon what they'd do to that pastor? They'd have him in the jail down there so fast. We better leave us alone, haven't we? Verse 29, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that whole body should be cast into hell. And that's why he said what he did in Mark over there. Go back to Mark chapter 10. Chapter 9, verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Is it better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Wow. Boy, that's kind of serious, ain't it? So what's Satan doing? He's taking the doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and trying to apply it in here. And then he takes the doctrine of Hebrews through Revelation and try to apply it in here. And in here, there is no law. You understand? There is no law. Because see, people don't know what sin is. That's the problem. Most folks don't know what sin is. I asked a friend of mine, he still goes to Cottage Hill Baptist. He worked at Scott for years. Pipe filler out there. Mr. Harrison. Two of them. There were two brothers out there. Two Harrison brothers. One of them operated the crane, one of them was a pipe shop. After we retired, we were driving vehicles off of ships down yonder on the state docks down there. David remembers when we were doing this down there. I asked Mr. Bobby Harrison one day, I said, Bobby, I see y'all got a new preacher. Oh, yeah. I said, what's he preaching for salvation? He said, well, you know, you confess your sins. I said, well, what's he tell you sins are? He said, well, you know, smoking, cussing, and all that. I said, Bobby, I said, what does God say sin is? Well, drinking and smoking and, you know, gambling and all that. I said, Bobby, I said, the Bible says sin's a transgression of the law.
I said,
Bobby, there ain't no law in here. Where in Romans chapter 4, verse 15, every one of y'all memorize it. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. And if you don't believe that's right, read the Mobile Press Register hotline thing in there. What's it called, that thing? Letters to the Editor. Sound off. Did y'all read it the other day? Well, I'll be John Brown. It just fits in right now. And I'm going to tell you. This man's on Cody Road. Y'all know where the new part of Cody Road is. It's been 30 miles an hour while they've been constructing this thing. Well, this woman writes in and says, my husband got a ticket on Cody Road this morning for doing 30 miles an hour. In this afternoon, the speed limit is 45.
He got a ticket for doing 41 miles an hour, and it was 30.
Okay.
And then that evening,
they went up to 45 that evening. But did he transgress the law when it was 30?
Yeah.
He sure did. He was doing 41 when it was 30. Well, that evening they changed it from 30 to 45, so he could not transgress it then, could he? Beloved, there ain't no law in Romans to Philemon. The Mosaic law was nailed to the cross. Ephesians 2:15, you read. So where there is no law, there's no transgression. So all my sins are forgiven. They're gone. God can't see them. He can't see the law. He sees the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same as back here when God was dealing with Israel back here. They could break the Mosaic law. They could bring a blood sacrifice. God couldn't see it. And the high priest had to do that once every year for their sins and for his own sins. You mean the high priest had sin in him? Sure did. Now, one last thing. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yeah, I know that clock's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. This should have been that late.
He's back here way out.
All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
I got you.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Well, there's two different appearings there. Two different judgments. Preach the word. Well, preach all the word. Preach it the way God got it laid out. Hebrews through Revelations is yet future. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Well, let's look at it. Go to Hebrews. We're right here at it. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. We'll have to read but one verse. Verse 28, Hebrews 9:28. For Christ was once offered.